is a cure. Christ is the cure for all the calamities of life, all the troubles of life, all the problems of life. But the people, though, however, many times fail to realize that there are things necessary for our security. God must be near us, and we must be near God. So I speak to you this morning, I want you mindful of just a few things. First of all, I want you mindful of the fact that without a revelation from God, there will be perpetual vexation from God. Without a revelation from God, we'll experience many vexations. As I begin reading the story of a prophet full of the Spirit of God by the name of Oded, who appears before Asa, tells him, these are the ways of God. And the Spirit of God came unto Zariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judea and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they, in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And the nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. When Asa heard these words of the prophet of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judea and Benjamin and the strangers with him out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. That's 10 verses of the 15th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Notice, as we started in this chapter, that the Spirit of God came. The Spirit of God came. We need the Spirit of God to come and reveal to us the things that would please the Lord, the things that would bring us to the knowledge of the Lord, the things that would cause us to understand the way of the Lord. In order for us to please God, we must be in the center of His will. Before you can be in the center of the Lord's will, you must know the will of God. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, I want to choose that passage for a text. It says in Proverbs 29 and 18 that where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, I've used that passage as a text in years gone by. Many times we use that passage, preachers do, jumping beyond or jumping past the context. I want to approach this text where there is no vision, the people perish in an exegetical way, approaching it by what I call a contextual expansion. Don't look for that in a book, I made it up. Contextual expansion. Those of you that meet on Wednesday night, you know how much importance and how much emphasis I put upon context. Those of you that if I were to ask that come on Wednesday night what context is, you could respond in a moment, in an instant, exactly what I mean by asking that question. Many times I've used this passage, and I think it actually does no harm to the text, using it in the sense that we need to have a good outlook, that we need to have a positive outlook in order that we might have positive results. Actually, I don't think that does any violation to the passage, for it's actually a proverb. That is true. It is true that we need to have a positive expectation. God is a very positive God. And when we have a positive attitude, many times we'll have a positive outcome. But that's not actually the way the text should be read. When we jump to the present day without first having a concrete understanding of what the texts mean to them, then, and there, we lose some of the power of the proverb. The proverb is that where there is no vision, the people perish. I want to remind you of one thing that Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and 20. He said, know this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. In other words, private meaning one's self. Most of the time we take this passage and we don't necessarily concretely fasten it to the circumstances and situations of the Old Testament. For instance, let me begin with the understanding of the word vision in Proverbs 29 and 15. The word vision does actually mean to see. We sometimes use the passage to foresee. But the word vision in this passage means to literally see, referring both to things seen and the power to see. But in the Old Testament, particularly in the Hebrew economy, we understand that it means a lot more than that. The word vision, as we find in other passages throughout the Old Testament, like in 1 Samuel 3 and 1, the word vision has reference to a revelation from God. In other words, the word vision, as we find in 1 Samuel 3 and 1, remember Samuel there when he was a child? The circumstances of that generation were degenerated to the point to where there were no open visions. They weren't receiving information or revelation from God. The word vision, if we understand its proper meaning, it doesn't just mean having a positive outlook or having a positive forward look. It has reference to us receiving a revelation from God. Receiving information from God. Next, let's notice the word in this text. The word perish. Para in the Hebrew. Which actually means to cast off restraints. Loosen, to be shaken apart, to separate or to break up, to go to pieces. Something that causes anarchy where the people are dissolved, loosened, broken up, or go to pieces. I'm telling you, without a revelation from God, you'll go to pieces. As we find in the situation with the people of Israel in the days of Asa, there were no teaching priests. Notice in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles chapter 15, we see that there were no teaching priests. Actually, if you look a little earlier, he talks about for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God. they had failed to be near God. Not only that, we noticed that they didn't hear from God. There were no teaching priests. They failed to hear from God. And we also note here that they were without law. In other words, they failed to hold dear the laws of God. Without a revelation from God, we will go to pieces. That's going to be my title this morning. Without information, without revelation, without understanding of the will of God, we will be dissolved, we will break apart, and we will go to pieces. This is a universal proverb that holds true not only in our nation, not only in our homes, not only just individually, not only just personally, but also collectively as a church. Without a revelation and understanding and true teaching of God, you will go to pieces, whether it be the church, whether it be your individual lives, whether it be your family, or whether it be this nation. Without a vision from God, we will perish. We see that happening today, just like we saw it and see it happening, or saw it happening in our reading lesson. We understand that the people of Israel, they fell apart. They had gone to pieces. Now, keep in mind, God wanted them restored. He wanted it revealed that there was restoration available, that there was forgiveness available. Much of the depression, much of the frustration, much of the demoralization is a result of us not having true dealings with God. Our society, the very fabric of our society, our civilization, as we know it, is breaking up and going to pieces because we're not drawing near to God. If we'll draw near to God, He will, according to James, draw near to us. I had written down some of the characteristics of the fall of the Roman Empire. I've read these in years past. Gibbons gives us a full, comprehensive, historical, it's a good book if you've never read it, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. But if you study how and why the Roman Empire fell, all the indicators that existed in Rome that brought their demise exist today in these United States. The undermining of the dignity and sanctity of home, number one. Is that happening today? If you were here Wednesday night, I was a little hard on the women. I taught about the true dress and the true role of a woman. I'm not for this role blending. Role changing. I'll tell you, I believe the word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. Men have responsibilities as being men. Women have responsibilities as being women. God created them male and female. The home, the undermining, the dignity and sanctity of home. Number two, increased taxes and spending of public money for bread and circuses. Well, we have that. Fleecing of America. Number three, the mad craze for pleasure, for sports, and sports becoming more exciting and more brutal. Number four, the building of gigantic armories. When the real enemy is the decency of the people. In other words, the demoralization of the people. Number five, the decay of religion with faith fading into mere form. People, we need a vibrant, real, genuine relationship with God. Our faith must be real. It's more than just a form. It must be a way of life for us. It must put us in connection with God. It needs to, each time that we trust in the Lord and put our confidence in the Lord, it should draw us near to the Lord. Nearness. Having a faith that brings us closer to God. These were just some of the things. Without a vision, what will happen? The Hebrew is Yain Kawazan aim para. Let me translate. This is the Binion's translation right here. Where there is no direct revelation of God to man, the people go to pieces, break up, and perish. During the reign of Solomon, that's exactly what happened. He lost sight of God. He failed to stay close to God. In our reading lesson, God's complaint when the prophet was filled with the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of God came, what did it reveal? It revealed the fact that it wasn't God that stepped away, but they had stepped away. That if they would remain close to God, God would remain close to them. Amen? And he says in these passages, in verse 2 of the 15th chapter of Chronicles, the Lord said this, if you seek me, you'll find me. God is always near. Amen? God wants to help us. God will restore us. He is always close to us. He will deliver us and he will save us, but we must seek him. If we want to find God, if we want to find his forgiveness, if we want to find his deliverance, if we want to find his help, if we want to find his power, if we want to find his spirit, if we want to find his direction, if we want to find his will for our lives, we must desire it, we must seek it. Amen? And without that direct revelation from God. Now, I'm not talking about stuff that was in the Nashville scene this past week. Big old article in there. Some fun, don't read it, okay? It's not worth your time. But apparently they're having classes. This lady is some kind of charismatic movement where they supposedly are hearing the voice of God. There was a picture in there. They're all sitting in class with their hand against their ear going, like this, all laughing, wanting to hear from God. You want to hear from God, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to call on the Lord. You're going to have to humble your heart, amen? You're going to have to correspond your life with his word. We have a revelation of God, and it is the word of God. It reveals to us truths. Let me say again, watch this now. Don't expect God to give you some special insider revelation into his will for your life if you're not willing to do his word. God has revealed to us truth through his word. They were not concerned about holding dear the Torah, as we find in verse 3, the law of God. They were without law. They did not hold it dear and near. People, we need to hold dear and near the word of God. We need to study God's word. You need to hear teaching from God's word. You need spirit-filled preaching and spirit-filled teaching. Amen. You need to, when you approach the word of God, approach it prayerfully and ask for the Holy Ghost to give you direction and leadership. Amen. These things are spiritually discerned. Solomon lost sight. His vision faded, and his kingdom broke up. Rehoboam and Jeroboam divided the kingdom into a northern and southern group. 10 tribes went to the north, 2 tribes went to the south. Why? Because the vision of Solomon faded. Here in these passages, we read about it fading in the days of Asa. Also in the days of Samuel, the word of God was rare. There in 1 Samuel, we read where that there were no open visions. The word of God was rare. The people began to do what? They began to clamor for a king. Give us a king. They lost sight of God's theocracy, God's will for them as a nation. People, when we don't get the information like we're supposed to, when we don't understand the will of God like we're supposed to, we'll start clamoring for other things. The people went to pieces. They lost their high idea of theocracy and clamored for a king. And it was the beginning of their ruins. Another graphic description you'll find in the book of Amos. Amos chapter 8. Let me turn there and read for you. This graphic description of truth says this: behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, weary and thirsty, wandering from sea to sea, from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Because there's no vision, no dealings with God. For the most part, we have today this kind of preaching of just a little preaching against immorality. And no genuine preaching of the cross. Stuff that people really need. The kind of preaching that brings not just us to a little feel-good state, but causes us to draw near to God. To draw near to God. God is close to every one of us, and we need to draw near to God. The chaos, the confusion in our homes, in our marriages, with our children, is a result of us failing to draw near to God. It's our failing to keep and hold dear the laws of God. It's our failing to hear from God. No teaching priests. Why, you're fortunate to have the Word of God taught in your community. You're fortunate to have sound churches in your community. Amen? Problem is, nobody goes to hear anything. Or maybe they go, but they don't go to learn anything. Or they go, but they really don't want to take heed to anything that God has said. Come on now. I don't know why some people go to church. I really don't. Maybe they enjoy the seats. Maybe they enjoy the atmosphere. Maybe they just like seeing one another. Man, you need to go to the word, go to church to hear the word of God. Amen. To hear thus saith the Lord, to get a word from the Lord. God has called us together. Why have we been called together? Why are we assembled here this morning? We need to hear stuff that helps us. Amen. Our nation needs to hear some preaching that brings healing. They need to hear about the cross of Jesus. They need to hear about the blood that was shed for them. They need to hear about the changing power and the transforming work of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen. Transforming people's lives, changing our hearts, and changing our communities, changing our nation, changing our ways. When you get saved, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You change. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. The word of God is scarce today. We have just a little preaching, it seems, against immorality, but not the stuff that would help people and heal people, quench their thirst and save their souls. We need genuine, real dealings with God. The right kind of revelation. And without that dealing with God, without that revelation from God, without knowing God and experiencing God, people go to pieces. I'll say this. Many families and marriages go to pieces because they don't stay in church. Don't bring the kids to church. Take them to a ball game. Huh? Come on now. We got revival coming. Well, let's just go on vacation. People, that's not the time for vacation. The third week in July is a time that we've called an assembly. You read in the Old Testament, when they called an assembly, even if you were getting married, you would put your marriage on hold. You had stuff going on in your life, you laid it aside. It's a calling of assembly. It's revival time. And we need to be at the house of God and hear a word from the Lord. Amen? I don't, you know, the only excuse that ever is suitable is to be in the hospital or be deathly ill and have to stay at home because you will infect others. Amen? Any other excuse? Well, you take it up with King Jesus. Now, let's go a little further. We've expanded these Old Testament passages from Amos, the old prophet, from Chronicles, from the book of Samuel, from the book of Proverbs, this powerful passage that unless we have genuine vision or revelation from God, we'll perish or break up or go to pieces. What is our truest and greatest vision? Is it not Jesus? Jesus said that I am the way in John 14 and 6. I am the life. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It's by Jesus Christ. Our vision through the Son, that is our greatest possession. It is the reason we've assembled here this morning, because Jesus has saved us. He's changed us. He's brought us together. He is our light. He is our life. He is what causes us to enjoy the high and holy things. The fellowship with God is a result of Jesus Christ. When you expand it, you cannot have revelation from God unless you know Jesus, and Jesus knows you. The Hebrew writer put it this way: God in sundry times and divers manners, He spoke in times past unto our fathers by the prophets, but He hath in these last times, these last days, He's spoken unto us by His Son. His Son. Jesus said that He was the way. He said in John 10 and 9, He said, I am the door. By me. You can't enter in unless you go by and through Jesus Christ. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Deliverance comes through Jesus Christ. Forgiveness comes through Jesus Christ. Security comes through Jesus Christ. These visions of healing and help come through Jesus Christ. Our nation may pray to other gods, but there's no other God but Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, He is the true and living God. And you can... these people that pray to all these other things, they're praying to idol gods. They're praying to non-existent gods. They do not speak. They do not talk. They are idols in my estimation. But the true and living God will reveal Himself to you. Amen. Jesus told Peter, He said, flesh and blood in the 16th chapter of Matthew hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. There's a revealed knowledge of Jesus Christ that comes when a person seeks God and calls upon the Lord and trusts in the redeeming work at Calvary. Jesus saw the multitude in Matthew 9 and 36. He was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Hosea said in Hosea 4 and 6, my people perish. God did. My people perish for lack of knowledge. When there's no preaching, when there's no sound preaching and sound teaching of God's word, men perish in their sins. Hearing the right way to be saved is fundamentally important and necessary for the saving of lost humanity. Oh, the preaching of the cross. To the world it may be foolishness, but to us that are saved, what is it? Huh? Yeah, it's the power of God and the salvation. The gospel, this good news that Jesus saves. Okay, I'm trying to close. Each one of us need a personal revelation, understanding. A forgiveness, first of all. You must be saved. You must have a believing application of the blood of Jesus Christ on your own soul. Amen? Without that, you'll perish. Jesus said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. You must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A revealed faith. A faith that reveals that you've been forgiven. Paul said in Galatians that faith is an operation of the heart. In other words, this revealed faith, this visionary faith, this regenerating faith. Amen. Listen, when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be born from above. You'll experience the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Things will change deep down in your soul. The stony heart will be removed and a heart of flesh will be put in, and it'll make you sensitive to the things of God. change you. Christ came to change you on the inside. And it's a spiritual insight that you have, a spiritual perception that you perceive when you trust in Jesus, that you've just been cleansed from all unrighteousness. Amen? Listen, if your salvation wasn't spiritual, you didn't get it. It's a spiritual birth. You must be born from above. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone, Jesus said in John 3:8, unless you have a spiritual vision or spiritual regeneration or spiritual justification, you don't have the kind that Jesus came to bring. A lot of people want a fleshly salvation. They want to work salvation. They want to do something. They want to be baptized to be saved. They want to eat the Lord's Supper to be saved. They want to do some good works to get saved. They want to live right to be saved. I'm telling you, you want to be saved, you must trust in Jesus Christ, because he died on the cross to save you from your sins. And when you repent of your sins and trust in Jesus with all of your heart, you'll know what being born again is all about. I can't explain it to you. You need to experience it, and without a vision of that, without an understanding of that, without a true understanding of who Jesus is, why he came, why he died on the cross, having an understanding of his resurrection, the new life that comes into us, where he sends the Holy Ghost, having an understanding and perception of his ascension, him being seated at the right hand of the Father, understanding he makes intercessions for us, experiencing that, dealing with that, understanding that, going through that, without that you'll perish. You'll break up. Staying connected. I appreciate your attention. Yeah, it's good, isn't it? When I read that old, old classic proverb that says, without a vision, the people perish. I understand exactly what he's talking about. Without us receiving power from God. Amen. Without us receiving understanding from God, without us receiving help from God, without us receiving the gifts of God. Amen? Did you guys realize that Spirit-filled teaching is a gift to the church? He ascended on high and he gave gifts unto men. What did he give? What did he give to the church? He gave them pastors and teachers. Amen? Gifts, yeah. Yeah, we've experienced that, haven't we? Praise God. We're not among those that are broken up. We're among those that stay together. Homes that stay together. Marriages that stay together. Churches, people. We stay together. We assemble together in his name. As we stand and sing a verse of some song, you may be here. We live in a very absurd and messed up and chaotic society. And you need dealings with God. You need revelation from God. You need regeneration. You need expiation. You need propitiation. You need the new birth. You need to know God. You need to experience God and have God and draw near to God. Draw near to him today. If you'll humble yourself, he will save you from your sins. Let us